This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's two biggest airlines just announcing they are furloughing more than 32,000 workers effective today. American and United are laying people off because Congress and the Trump administration have not been able to agree on a bailout for the airline industry. Both airlines telling workers on Wednesday that they were ready to call people back to work once there is a deal done. First-time claims for unemployment benefits falling to 837,000 last week, a drop of 36,000 from the previous week's revised total. It's the fifth week in a row, though, that Americans did file fewer than a million claims. Weekly claims had been above a million for 5 months because of the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdowns because of it. Wall Street's been trading higher through the morning, and this is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's campaign setting a single-day record following his appearance in Tuesday night's presidential debate. The campaign raising more than $21.5 million on Wednesday, yesterday, its best single day of fundraising yet. About $10 million of it came in during and immediately after the debate itself. While many say that Biden won the debate, which was described overall as chaotic, President Trump was taking credit for having won it when he appeared before supporters at a rally in Minnesota last night.
I did what the corrupt media has refused to do. I held Joe Biden accountable for his 47 years of lies, 47 years of betrayal, and 47 years of failure.
Americans can look forward to another round of stimulus checks once the next coronavirus relief bill is in place, according to the Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin, who says direct payments to individuals will be similar to the $1,200 checks that were part of the CARES Act. And this is USA Radio News.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Unseasonably hot weather slowing down crews fighting wildfires, especially in Northern California. The Glass Fire and Zog Fire have been raging out of control since Sunday, and the fire danger elevated again because no rain's in the forecast all this week, but winds are. Nearly 30 million people in California are under heat advisories with temperatures over 100 degrees forecast in several areas. Red flag warnings in effect in parts of Northern California due to the low humidity and breezy conditions that could fan the flames as well. For the second time in a week, a SpaceX Starlink launch isn't happening. A ground sensor reading preventing the Falcon 9 rocket from taking off this morning, that after the weather wouldn't cooperate to allow a scheduled launch back on Monday. Twitter says it's taken down more than 100 accounts it says originate in Iran and that we're trying to disrupt public conversation during Tuesday's presidential debate. Twitter noting the accounts had very low engagement and no impact on public conversation, but the company says the FBI alerted them, even posting some examples online. And Apple is bringing more emojis to its users. Among the new ones, a gender-neutral Santa Claus, both men and women wearing wedding dresses, and also an anatomical heart, a worm, a tamale, and a beaver. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. We've made it so far. Where are we? What state are we in now? We're just outside of Illinois. It's been quite the road trip from California to the east. Later on, we'll end up in Tennessee on our way down to Florida. But what a great opportunity to, you know, see a little bit closer. You know, there's quite a bit difference when you're on the road traveling this beautiful country of ours versus in a jet. So it's been a good experience, and we've met some really nice people along the way. Ilya Shapiro is with us right now. He's written a new book. The title of the book is Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations and the Politics of America's Highest Court. Perfect timing with all things being discussed that has to do with RBG and the Supreme Court. Ilya, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be on. The publisher had to pay extra for that pen.
Wow, I'm telling you. This has been amazing. And, of course, it's been nonstop for you because, you know, you've given us so much background into the Supreme Court. It's not always been a bed of roses, has it?
No. In fact, politics has been part of the nomination and confirmation process since the very beginning. George Washington had a nominee rejected, for that matter. About half the presidents in our history have had trouble filling seats. And, you know, the nature of the disputes certainly change. And in the modern era, what's different is that you have the culmination of several trends where different interpretive theories map onto partisan preferences at a time when the parties are more ideologically sorted than they've been since at least the Civil War. And so when you have the Supreme Court and the judiciary generally deciding so many important political controversies in this large country, of course, there's going to be a big fight every time there's a vacancy for one of those precious seats.
Yeah, and let's add the natural contention of ideologies, as you say, Ilya, when you've got, I mean, it's one thing when you have a one party in particular in control that are pulling the levers versus, you know, when you have, you know, when you have a division of power, you know, either, you know, the White House could be one party and the Senate be another, that adds to the conflict. But right now, there, of course, here we are in a short period of time. All this tradition is being brought out and everybody wants to stand on tradition, which they're happy to throw away when, you know, tradition doesn't necessarily favor their side or their advantage, do they?
It's all power politics at the end of the day. The Constitution doesn't say very much other than the president shall nominate and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint justices. Historically, you're right to put your finger on the key issue, whether the same party controls the Senate and the White House. The overall confirmation rate when we have United Party control is about 90% historically, and when it's divided, it's south of 60%, and that difference is accentuated in presidential election years. So absolutely, historically speaking, the whole ball game is, you know, do you have the votes? Is the Senate aligned with the White House?
Exactly. And, of course, where we stand right now in this modern era, the lightning rod is freedom of choice. And it's a it has to do with Roe v. Wade. And no doubt that this is rallying the troops in a very fervent way. We saw what happened with Brett Kavanaugh. It just seemed like there was just such a harsh desperation to try not to let that seat go to a conservative.
Right. I mean, there has been a tit-for-tat escalation going back decades. Robert Bork in 87 was the first time, really, that there was an all-out offensive to stop and what's become known as the Bird to Bork, a nominee purely
yes.
on ideology and judicial philosophy. Which, you know, I think it's fine for senators to oppose a nominee because they're opposed to that, they disagree with the judicial philosophy, but demagoguing it and all these gotcha moments and things like that, that's inappropriate. Although, as I detail in my book, Supreme Disorder, Bork didn't all start, our wars did not start in 1987. It really goes back to, the late 30s when, under Franklin Roosevelt, the court started making decisions that allowed the centralization of power within Washington and the skewing of power away from Congress towards the executive branch. And so now all of these major controversies, not just abortion or guns, these cultural values, but also the size of the government and decisions made by regulatory authorities, those are all ultimately decided in the courts rather than by legislators, whether at the state or federal level.
Well, no question with anything hysterical or historical is that, you know, you can look back and see certain benchmarks, but you can see a gradual increase, what I would call, of people being borked or, you know, these justices. I mean, these are qualified individuals that have, and I don't care what political spectrum they're on, but they've worked hard. But to be attacked in ways, you know, like Bork, like Alito, more so like Thomas Kavanaugh as well. But it seems, Ilya, in looking back historically, that conservative judges seem to have more scrutiny than liberals. Did you find that to be the case in your research?
Well, in the modern times, I think that's right. It's harder to make a conservative versus liberal comparison, before, 100 years ago or so, because the ideologies were different, the issues were different. But yes, Nixon had two nominations go down. Jimmy Carter didn't have anyone to appoint. Clinton had Ginsburg and Breyer, who were confirmed overwhelmingly. I mean, for that matter, the year before Bork, with Scalia, he was confirmed unanimously. You can imagine Scalia unanimously, Ginsburg 96-3. So, Rehnquist ran into some issues, nominated to be elevated as Chief Justice the same year as Scalia. But yeah, in the last 30 years, those nominated by Republican presidents have definitely run into, harder opposition than those nominated by Clinton or Obama.
Is there just something fundamentally wrong in that? I mean, what do we expect, you know, from the executive branch when they nominate a Supreme Court judge and they put them in nomination? What should be the job of the Senate? I mean, it seems to me that, particularly in the modern era, you might argue that they've, maybe gone too far.
Well, I don't know who's going too far. I think it's perfectly fine for senators to evaluate what kind of judges these nominees are going to be or have been, and if they disagree with that interpretive theory, to vote against them. But be honest about it. Don't try to demagogue it or come up with false accusations and what have you. Let's have that debate. I mean, let the voters evaluate what kind of judges they want. Historically, that's benefited Republicans more than Democrats. That's probably part of the reason why Joe Biden has not released a list of potential candidates.
Exactly, and I think you hit the right temperament with that, Ilya, and that is that we want to know what is the foundation, what is the world view of this judge, and how they're going to interpret the Constitution. I think that's a fair discovery, and I don't mind that. I welcome that, to be frank. More from Ilya after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Incredible, with no origination fees or discount points. Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your new mortgage or refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, who would have thought a book like Supreme Disorder, that there would be a time for this, and the release and timing, how it all came together, most incredible. But again, you know, the one thing about living life is that you realize what may sometimes look like a surprise really isn't much of a surprise after all. He's the Cato's Director of Constitutional Studies. Ilya Shapiro is with us. It's his fault, the book, Supreme Disorder. So what happened? How did the genesis of this book come about, Ilya?
Well, in the wake of the Kavanaugh hearing, I mean, I've been a court watcher for a decade or so, and I thought about how did we get to where we are? Clearly, the toxic cloud that envelops all of our political discourse and has now covered the Supreme Court as well. And I wanted to explore when did this start? How did it start? Is there anything that can be done about it? And so, you know, I was very familiar with everything from Bork onwards, or from Roe v. Wade onwards, say. But going back to the early days, I mean, some of those fights they had, you know, before the Civil War between Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln, only 8 of 21 nominees were confirmed. The biggest fight overall, by the way, I would say, is not Bork or Thomas or Kavanaugh. It was Louis Brandeis back in 1916. Mm-hmm. The longest, I think it took 5 months before nomination and confirmation. He was the first Jewish nominee, but also a big social crusader, very politically controversial. Now, he himself did not testify. That was the first hearing they ever had, but they thought it would be unseemly for the nominee himself to testify. And ultimately, the final vote wasn't as close as it was in some of the more recent ones, but and obviously we don't have TV footage or anything like that, but that was
right.
very, very controversial. But another justice on the court back in 1916, Charles Evans Hughes, resigned to run against President Woodrow Wilson in that fall's election. So you can imagine the tumultuous time they were living in. And again, every era has its own fights. And as I was learning, there's really not much new under the sun. You're talking about
exactly.
a vacancy on the eve of the election in 1956. A justice resigned in October, a month before the election, and the Senate was not in session. They were all out campaigning, didn't want to come back. What did Eisenhower do? He recess-appointed a justice. So, you know, lots of examples of different things going on in our history, but it comes down to the different way that politics and judicial philosophy plays in terms of the incentives that senators and presidents and outside groups face.
Now, for your book, you had an opportunity to talk with Judge Ginsburg.
No, I did not. I did not even try to set up interviews with the justices. That would have been a different project. I mean, I don't know how forthcoming they would have been to talk about their experiences or their views on what the confirmation process should be. I did talk to White House counsel and their deputies and others who had been involved in the selection process, going back to Ronald Reagan's Attorney General, Ed Meese, so someone from, I think, every administration since then. And that was clarifying, and that was interesting, you know, telling me about the factors that it went into selection and the way that the political pressures played at the time.
Exactly. Well, I think maybe there's something there in terms of something in the future, Ilya. And I can understand judges, while they're on the court, be reticent, you know, to be able to open up. But it would be interesting to get their perspective on the nomination process as well.
Well, that might need to be my next book. We'll see how this one does. So far, so good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She passes away on Friday, and, you know, and I even sent out tweets that, you know, because you could see what was going on. I mean, this thing was just all of a sudden, all hell was breaking loose. And I thought, oh, can we have a moment? Can we just have a moment of rest in peace for the judge? I didn't particularly care for, you know, her decisions of so much. I was in disagreement personally. But, you know, she's a fellow humanoid. I mean, you know, gone through the journey of life, and can she rest in peace for a moment before, you know, all the dice has come out and everybody's rolling dice for this chair and the partisanship. But in politics being what it is in this modern era, I guess there's just, you know, there's always room for politics, even when you don't want to make room for it.
Indeed. I mean, I was on the phone with CBS on a panel, maybe within an hour or less than an hour of the news breaking of her passing. And initially, everyone was talking about different parts of her legacy, her legal legacy, her life, being a pioneering woman lawyer and all that. And then very quickly, the host pivoted to the political aspect. And we demurred then, but it wasn't long before that indeed took center stage. A lot of parallels to the Scalia situation 4 years earlier. He obviously passed in February, a little earlier in the cycle ahead of the presidential election, but still, you had statements by senators, statements by the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, very quickly. You had the analysis of the political ramifications going in parallel with the lionization and hagiography of these legal giants. Of course, one conservative and one progressive.
And when you look back at the track of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I mean, it was almost, I mean, she was really made and designed for the court. I mean, her perspective and her opinion, but I mean, this is a brilliant woman.
Absolutely. I mean, as many people have said, including her old pal Justice Scalia, writing in Time magazine
exactly
5 years ago, she was the Thurgood Marshall of the women's rights movement, the women's equality movement, pioneering litigator design strategy when she led the ACLU's women's project, and very strategic about how to tear down gender discrimination would often represent men who, for example, were not receiving their wives' pensions or were not allowed to take a certain leave or tax deduction that was available to women, things like that to show that both genders deserve equal treatment under the law.
What do you think people most misunderstood about this judge?
She's had a long history. I mean, it's interesting. When she was up for her Supreme Court nomination, when Bill Clinton picked her in 1993, she had navigated and established a fairly moderate record on the D.C. Circuit before that. And so, amazingly, the pro-choice movement was nervous about what her position was on abortion and other issues. In fact, Ginsburg had given a speech at NYU 6 months before her nomination saying that the court had really contributed to the nasty public discourse over abortion by both prematurely making that decision and deciding it in a way that was a little nebulous with the penumbras and emanations rather than on equal protection grounds and things like that. A critique of Roe v. Wade. Of course, in retrospect, that seems amazing and a little ridiculous to question Justice Ginsburg's views on abortion. But, you know, there's real thought there. There's a real lawyerly mind. This is not result-oriented, radical, reach the left-wing result, doesn't matter what the law says. I mean, I disagreed with
exactly
her plenty, including in some of her celebrated dissents in Shelby County, the voting rights case, or NFIB, the Obamacare case, things like that. But this is not some screed that's that doesn't have any reasoning behind it.
And I think that's what Justice Scalia appreciated about her is that, she was strategic. I mean, she was very thoughtful, and there was a basis for her renderings. It wasn't, as you say, it wasn't based on emotion or just solid ideology, was it so much? I mean, I may stretch that ideology aspect just a little bit, but I didn't see her as, at least in her renderings, as somebody that was, kind of a knee-jerk reaction. It was very strategic.
Yeah, that's right. And her approach is methodical and studious. I mean, if you read her opinions, there's not bombast or vitriol. It's not emotional appeals. It's, trying to harness logic and use it in support of her arguments.
Exactly, and I guess that's key to her legacy. We've been visiting with Ilya Shapiro, Cato's Director of Constitutional Studies. His new book came out just in time. I mean, it was awesome. Get your hands on it. Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court. Available at all the usual places and linked on our website. Thank you, Ilya.
Hello and welcome to Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. I'm Dan Perkins. Are you like me and you can't manage your prescription refills that always seem to be out? Well, now the VA service has a great service for you. With this service, you can refill your VA prescriptions online, view your past and current VA prescriptions, and track the delivery of each prescription mailed to you. For more information, go to theva.com and look for the prescription refill program. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Are you pro-life but also care about immigration and the economy? Are you concerned about media bias and campaign rhetoric? iVoter Guide has put hundreds of hours of research into our voter guide so you can see what the candidates have done, not just what they say they'll do. Go to iVoterGuide.com today and vote your values now and on November 3rd. That's iVoterGuide.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's two biggest airlines just announcing they are furloughing more than 32,000 workers effective today. American and United are laying people off because Congress and the Trump administration have not been able to agree on a bailout for the airline industry. Both airlines telling workers on Wednesday that they were ready to call people back to work once there is a deal done. First-time claims for unemployment benefits falling to 837,000 last week, a drop of 36,000 from the previous week's revised total. It's the fifth week in a row, though, that Americans did file fewer than a million claims. Weekly claims had been above a million for 5 months because of the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdowns because of it. Wall Street's been trading higher through the morning, and this is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
The brightest, the right way.
Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, this year's cold season could be different. Imagine, especially in light of all that we've been dealing with COVID-19. And here to tell us what to expect and how to prepare is emergency room physician and founder of Cure Urgent Care in New York City, Dr. Jake Deutsch. Good morning, Dr. Deutsch. Good to have you with us.
Hi, great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Help us understand, how do we best prepare for this cold season, especially in light of with the cold season, flu, and, the chances of dealing still with COVID-19?
Yeah, of course. So, the key is understanding the difference between cold and everything else. Fall allergy season is just approaching us. Cold season is fast approaching. And we have schools and cities embarking on phase reopening. So it's important to know the symptoms of a common cold as well as ways to shorten colds. To best prepare for cold season, is important to know the symptoms and act fast.
Mm-hmm. So how can we tell, to this point that you just mentioned, the difference between a cold and what do you tell patients to do?
Sure. So identifying the symptoms of a cold is so easy and critical. So you're sneezing, your sore throat, your cough. And I tell patients it's important to act when those signs first appear. you know, commonly patients always say to me, what can I do to get better faster? And they want to know what they could do at that moment. Mm-hmm. And Zicam is always on my short list. I get a lot of requests for solutions, and it's so easy. That along with getting lots of rest, drinking plenty of fluids, taking Zicam is really important at that first time. And what's completely different about Zicam is it's clinically proven homeopathic oral zinc. It's specifically formulated to shorten colds, so you get better faster.
And we're hearing these days about zinc in terms of its assistance, you know, for us in terms of helping with our immunity. Is that consistent as well? Is that, you know, doctor, is that what you'd recommend?
Yes, so zinc is an essential element. It's important to our overall health, and it's naturally found in different foods, so meats and beans, and it's present in almost every cell of our body. So it's involved in numerous aspects of cellular function and our metabolism.
And, you know, and you mentioned Zicam. You know, we've been utilizing it, or at least hearing a lot about it here in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years more so. Even an anecdotal type experience, people say, yeah, I've been using Zicam and it's been very effective. What is it that makes Zicam so effective?
So it's the zinc combination. It's, you know, it's clinically proven to reduce in the cold duration. So, you know, really the idea is that you take it early and at that first sign. And that's really what I don't think most people grasp is, you know, having it available, having it in your medicine cabinet, in your office, in your bag, in your car, so that that first sign you're starting to take it so that you're going to shorten that duration.
And so I imagine that if we're behind the curve, I mean, what we're trying to do is get in front of the curve here. And the first sign of any kind of cough, sore throat, that sort of thing, reach for the Zicam, take it, because it'll serve you well, as opposed to waiting until the cold is really upon you, because at that point you're behind and the Zicam probably not as effective as it would have been had you taken it, you know, a week earlier.
Yeah, so that's why it's important for patients to know that you have this option and to have it handy. You know, be prepared. It's all about preparedness this cold season.
I know we're talking about cold season, but also we've got, you know, the flu season and still probably chances are dealing with COVID-19. Doctor, can you address that for us while we got you here? I want to take advantage of your emergency room experience. Maybe you can help our audience further because no doubt, like you said, allergies, cold, I mean, it is, you know, the winter season is rapidly coming upon us. And, you know, we need to be smart about what we're being subjected to right now.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've treated tens of thousands of COVID patients. And, you know, really that's on everybody's mind as, you know, sort of the major concern for our health. So, any sort of symptom that you have, you know, making sure that you're seeking medical attention and making sure that you're getting the proper treatment, including testing. It can be difficult. So COVID oftentimes has severe respiratory symptoms, that shortness of breath, body aches, but flu can look very similar. And that's why we're calling it a twindemic. So flu, you're going to also have similar features with high fevers and body aches and fatigue, maybe a little less of the chest pain, but you know, it's not easy for even us physicians to look at a patient and say, this is flu, this is COVID. Testing is a very important part of our assessment of patients. So I have to really reiterate to people, if you think that you're sick with any of those illnesses, you need to make sure that you seek medical attention. And, you know, once your doctor has ruled those out and comes back to the common cold, which is going to happen for the majority of patients, having that plan in place, reaching for that Zicam at the first symptom.
Well, Dr. Deutsch, as you said, you've treated thousands of people, and you've been dealing with, you're on the front line of this for, you know, since, you know, January, February. What's your assessment right now in terms of the trajectory of this as we get ready to move into the cold season?
Well, you know, we've seen great progress in terms of reducing numbers of infections and, you know, controlling the spread by using protective equipment like masks and social distancing. In New York City, our infection rates have been very low. They've been less than 1%. However, we do have the real risk of rebound and a second wave. as we start to reopen, as people get back to their normal activity, there's going to be some inevitable infections. So I think that we all need to be prepared to regress a little bit in terms of what's happened if those numbers creep up. So doing our part is essential, making sure that we wear our masks, making sure that you follow protocols of social distancing. It's very easy. It works. We've seen that in my medical practice. We haven't had one infection among staff members who've been wearing masks. So
that's great.
I just can't reiterate that enough.
Well, and also hand washing, I mean, the basic common sense things that our grandmothers and parents taught us as kids, we need to re-embrace. And when we talk about a normal, going back to normal, I think, it's going to be somewhat of a new normal because, this country has not been used to dealing with masks. I mean, we're not like the Asian countries like China and Japan. We see them at airports and they're all wearing masks and we think, okay, well, what about that? What do you know that we don't know? The rest of us are getting off the plane and all of a sudden our throats are itchy and we're sneezing and, they're off enjoying their day and, wearing their masks. So maybe we should learn something from them, huh?
Absolutely. I think it'll be very interesting to look at the numbers of flu this season where masks are being used. We've never had a flu season in the history of the United States where it's really recommended for everybody to be wearing a mask. So what does that trajectory of flu look like? Are we going to have less numbers? Are we going to, see, people having less hospitalization and mortality? So, I think that that's a great point and also reiterates how important it is to wear your mask.
It's upping our game, isn't it? I mean, we've been very casual about the flu and these other diseases that have come into our culture, and we just kind of move along. But this COVID, maybe the takeaway of this COVID-19 is that we realize that we have got to put ourselves on guard. We're smart enough. We have the technology to do a better job to where maybe we don't have to be so much the effect, like you say, of, a common cold or the flu or even COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think that you're right. We are upping our game. Taking action and being prepared. Flu vaccinations are up for our offices. We're seeing, 20 to 30% more patients requesting flu vaccines, and it's very easy. So, I'm not mad at that. Whatever we can do to take better care of ourselves, to prevent illness, I'm on board. It's just unfortunate that we've had such severe illness associated with this pandemic. But, prevention, colds, having Zicam on hand, so easy. Make sure that you have yourself stocked up. And you can find it at Zicam.com.
Yes, exactly. And that's a perfect summary and wrap for us. He's emergency room physician, founder of Cure Urgent Care in New York City, Dr. Jake Deutsch. Dr. Deutsch, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, and stay healthy.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Bill Martinez, live.
Ready, America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and he is Corey Lewandowski. We're going to talk about his new book, Trump, America First, the President Succeeds Against All Odds. Corey, good to have you back with us. Appreciate the time. How you been?
You know, Bill, I've been doing really well, so thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to come back.
Well, especially in light of the first debate where Joe Biden made some unsubstantiated claims about the president's failing on whether it was COVID-19 or the international stage, and the president has a long list of successes. How can he make that statement without any kind of connection with reality?
Well, Joe Biden has been living in an alternate universe for a long time. We know that. You know, from him claiming that he got 3 degrees from a university to picking the wrong university that he went to. Look, he's a prolific liar. We know that. He's a known plagiarist. He's run for president 3 times. The disappointing part about the debate was that Chris Wallace, the moderator, who I traditionally have enormous respect for, did nothing to fact check Joe Biden on any of the claims that he made. When he called, you know, when he disparaged our troops and Donald Trump called him out on it, Joe Biden said it's not true. Everybody knows it's true. Everybody's seen the video, but it doesn't matter. That debate the other night was really almost a 2-on-1, and the president still held his own.
Exactly. And he also called into account his son, which the other thing that keeps being omitted from the narrative here, Corey, is according to Judicial Watch, Hunter Biden was on over 800 flights with his dad overseas on Air Force Two. Come on. I mean, this is such obvious corruption that was going on. Are you going to tell me that Hunter Biden just went overseas on 800 occasions to, you know, carry his dad's luggage?
Well, look, we know that Hunter Biden became exceptionally wealthy while his father served in public office, first as a United States senator when he was lobbying for MBNA, the old credit card company based in Delaware that Joe had jurisdiction over, and then later as the vice president's son. And we know Burisma. We know all the money. The president raised the issue that the former mayor's wife of Moscow paid Hunter Biden $3.5 million. Joe Biden said it's not true. Of course it's true. We have the facts. Chris Wallace refused to fact check him. And Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about the fact that his son is a crack addict. We know that. He's had multiple relationships with women and strippers and refuse to pay their child support until under the threat of a court order. And that's what this is. This is what we call Biden Incorporated. Between Joe's brother and Hunter, these two guys have gotten very, very rich while Joe Biden served in office.
It's been a family business, no doubt, all and most of it under the nose of Barack Obama. Where's Barack Obama in all this?
Well, Barack Obama has been, complicit or at minimum obtuse to everything that's gone on, from the spying on the Trump campaign. And look, the director of national intelligence just recently sent a letter to Lindsey Graham saying that they have evidence that the Hillary Clinton team, authorized by Hillary Clinton, came up with this whole Russian narrative. They asked the CIA to investigate it. They said no. They turned it over to the FBI. Barack Obama was briefed on it from the handwritten notes, which have now been produced from the former director of the CIA. And Comey and Clapper and Brennan ran an operation starting at the end of July of 2016 to discredit this president for fear of potentially losing the election. And what they did is they attacked us because of our political beliefs. They went after us because of the candidate we supported. They turned the entire force of the U.S. government with their badges and their guns against people. And they ruined people's lives, like General Mike Flynn and so many others, and Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and so many others, all because they didn't like our politics. You know, they came after me. They spied on me. They spied on my family. They spied on the Trump family. It cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Joe Biden knew about it. Barack Obama knew about it. And not one person, not one, has been held accountable. And to me, that's disgusting.
Well, and I thought the president made a very appropriate statement in saying so much for a peaceful transition. Don't talk to me about a peaceful transition after what you and Barack Obama did to me and my administration, right?
Well, that's exactly right. A peaceful transition. We know that on January 5th of 2017, after Donald Trump had been elected president but had not yet taken the oath of office, there was a meeting in the Oval Office with the highest levels of the government where Barack Obama told everyone to, quote, do everything directly by the book. And the reason we know that is because the former attorney general sent what we call a CYA memo to herself, a cover your you-know-what memo, saying that this is what the president said. And the reason you do that is because you know now that you're leaving office and someone's going to find this stuff because it lives forever. They are crooked. Barack Obama knew about this whole operation. Joe Biden knew about it. He was in the room when it was discussed about Mike Flynn recommending the use of the Logan Act to go after Mike Flynn and destroy him and his family, and not one person. And I am waiting for U.S. Attorney Durham to do something, but I'll tell you what, I'm getting tired of waiting, to be honest.
Well, you and so many Americans, Corey, because God forbid that Donald Trump does not get reelected. If that doesn't occur, all this investigation, all this corruption goes right where the Democrats would want it to be, and that's under the carpet.
Well, of course. Look, they've been trying to hide this and stall this forever. We've seen little Adam Full of Shift tell us that there was nothing to this. He knew from the very beginning, okay? He went out and he said that he has seen the evidence, and he can't talk about it because it was classified. He's seen the evidence against the president, and they should impeach him. Don't forget, they impeached this president over this evidence. The House of Representatives voted to formally remove the president of the United States, all based on the lies of some staffer who worked for Hillary Clinton, authorized by Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. It was the biggest ruse the American people have ever been under. It was executed by Comey and Clapper and Brennan, and not one of these people have been held accountable. And Joe Biden, just because of his implication in this and his understanding of it, is not fit to be the president of the United States.
And speaking of Adam Schiff, I mean, you're talking a former officer of the court. He has a law license. Why isn't he disbarred for the misrepresentation of the facts? Just because he's a congressman, somehow there's different ethics that apply. I thought that being an attorney meant that you had to maintain a certain discipline and connection with the truth, the whole truth and nothing but.
Well, clearly you've got them members of Congress confused with people who actually have some type of morals. And, you know, the speech and debate clause is what they hide behind. They use that to say that they can say anything they want on the House floor or in committee with complete impunity. And look, when I testified in front of Congress behind closed doors in what they call a SCIF space, a secured space that there's no transmission in or out of, there's no cameras. The only people in those rooms are the members of Congress who are elected. Before I finished my testimony and I walked out of that room, the media knew everything I had said because Adam Schiff was getting up and walking out and telling everybody what was going on, a clear violation of at minimum House protocols, and more likely an ethics violation that would allow him to be disbarred for leaking classified information.
Well, this has been quite the expose, and we can thank Donald Trump for this. We knew with him coming into the Beltway that he was going to expose the swamp. He continues to do this. Now it's going to be up to the American people to decide. Corey, while I have you on, we've got a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about COVID-19 and this narrative that the Democrats and Joe Biden persist on putting out there that the president did so little about COVID-19. That doesn't square up with all the things that have been reported, I mean, not by the mainstream media, but that which we know that the president did, including shutting down airlines from China to the West Coast. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
You know, the president acted very swiftly and very decisively and made the executive decision to ban all flights coming in from mainland China unless you were an American citizen or a permanent green card holder and you were coming home. When he did that, he was immediately called a xenophobic, a racist, a misogynist, and everything else because he was supposedly attacking the people of China for this. And that's when we saw Nancy Pelosi walking through the streets of Chinatown saying there is nothing wrong, there's nothing with this virus. And the only issue that they were focusing on while the president was focused on the Chinese virus was probably renaming post office in Washington, D.C. And so then what did Joe Biden do? He laid out a 7-point plan of what he would have done had he been the president. But what he failed to mention was all 7 points on those things are something that Donald Trump had already done. Plus, the president implemented what's called the DPA, or the Defense Production Act, and he forced private sector companies to retool so that we could have enough ventilators for anybody who needed them. He sent Navy ships up into New York and out to California so that there were additional hospital beds inside if they were needed. He listened to the experts. He recommended mask wearing. We closed the greatest economy in the world to save every life possible. And if you listen to Joe Biden, what he would have done and what he would continue to do is not have any accountability. He would listen to some unelected bureaucrat who would say, close the economy in perpetuity. I'll keep getting my paycheck as a government official. You guys will all stay at home. Your businesses will fail. You'll go into divorce. You'll have alcoholism issues. You'll go bankrupt. But don't worry. You know what? The government is here to solve your problems. It's the old Ronald Reagan line. I'm from the government. What can I do to help? And the answer is nothing. It scares you to death. And Donald Trump won't allow that.
Well, Corey, what do you expect in debate number two?
You know, it's a different format. Debate number two is a town hall format where individuals in the audience will have the opportunity. Now, supposedly they're supposed to be pre-vetted and they're supposed to be unaffiliated voters and they're supposed to be undecided voters. But look, you and I have seen this many, many times. Last night was a 2-on-1 debate. So my guess is the audience will be stacked. It will be a different opportunity for the president to answer questions. There'll be no direct interaction between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. There'll be no questioning each other of their policies, their visions for America, or their desire to support the police or not support the police. So it's going to be a very different format. The president is very, very comfortable in the town hall format. I think you're going to see a more refined Donald Trump. He won't be as aggressive because he'll be answering questions from the audience.
Exactly. Well, Corey Lewandowski and David Bossie have done it again. The best-selling authors are giving us their latest book, Trump, America First, The President Succeeds Against All Odds. Corey, as always, appreciate the time. You take care.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you a-